Well, if you are tuning in with us, we welcome you this morning. And if you have chosen to listen to this in the normal sunrise service time, then right now it's dark and we're just awaiting the sun to rise. And as we do that, let's just settle and just enter into His presence this morning and allow His Spirit, His life, just to wash over us. Illuminate our hearts this morning as the sun will come up later. Let His light that comes through His word, through His Spirit into our lives, shine upon our hearts this morning. And so, Jesus, we enter into praise and thanks for Your sacrifice, Your death, and Your resurrection. We celebrate it now and worship to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father's arms are open wide. There's not one thing you're not greater than. Greater than the mountain that's in front of me. You are greater, so much greater. Greater than the power of the enemy. You are greater, so much greater.
our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. And our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe, and I believe in you.
Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Saints' communion and in your holy church.
I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Good morning. I'm so happy to once again participate in the annual Easter Sunday Sunrise Service Celebration. I know we are all disappointed we cannot congregate at the usual setting, watching the glorious sunrise. However, some may be happy to sleep in a bit. Whether we are next to our loved ones, safe in place, 6 feet apart, and in many situations miles apart, we still have each other in our hearts and on our minds. Thanks to technology, we can communicate by phone, FaceTime, or online. I feel I must address this big cootie for a moment. We all know that when we eat the wrong foods, drink too much, smoke, or exercise too little, there may possibly be consequences for those actions. However, it is difficult to fathom that at any moment someone could become extremely ill or possibly die by not doing anything wrong, just communicating too closely. Even though this bug has greatly impacted everyone's life, young and old, we must hold on to our family values within our homes and throughout the island and throughout the world. I applaud those in the community who are reaching out to others in so many ways. They are unsung heroes and heroines. I ask everyone to express your love and appreciation for each other even more than you usually do. Reach out and offer whatever support you can, whether financially, emotionally, or through service. Continue to pray for the eradication of this virus, the healing of the stricken, and for those who have perished and their families. Thank you, and happy Easter. And now Pastor Enrique will open us in a prayer.
Good morning. He is risen. Amen. They'd asked me to pray this morning, and so if we can just bow our hearts, we're going to go before our Heavenly Father even now. Heavenly Father, during these times that we find ourselves having to put together a video or audio and being able to reach out to this world and let them know of this glorious day that we celebrate today, the day of your Son's resurrection. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts to the message, to the scriptures, to all that is said, all that is done today. And that you would stir our hearts, Lord God, to draw ourselves close after you. I pray, Father, for peace upon this island, upon the city, and in our own homes. Lord God, that we would rest in you, knowing that you are with us. And Lord God, that you go before us. I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom in how we work with each other. And we pray, God, that you would put an end to this pandemic, that it would be soon. We ask, Father, for continued wisdom for doctors and nurses as they continue to serve this community and all over this land and all over this world. We ask, Father, in the midst of all that's happening, God, that we would draw our eyes to you, recognizing, Lord, that our lives are in your hands and that our eternal destiny is with you. And so, God, we ask even now that you would bless the scriptures as they're going to be read and the preaching that Pastor Ron will share. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your faithfulness in our lives. We ask that in all things that you would be honored and glorified this day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. My name's Pastor Andrew, and we are expecting great things in your life today. A special Easter greetings to you. I welcome all of our online listeners from Catalina and its beautiful town of Avalon here and down the leeward coastline, maybe in the coves you're listening this morning, all the way across the world. Who knows? This is online. I want to say a special good morning to all of you. We know that Christ is risen. That is why you are gathered online this morning. But I want you to picture and imagine yourself with us right now at Casino Point. It's actually still dark, and it's probably in the low 50s. It's probably even drizzling. With my luck, the last 3 or 4 years, there's a little drizzle going on. But I look forward to sharing the passage of Scripture with you before our message today. I'm looking at Mark chapter 16, the book of Mark, the second book of the New Testament. verses 1 through 16, we're looking, obviously, at the resurrection and then a few events that happened right after it happened. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning. Verse 16 of chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary and the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Verse 3. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Verse 8. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now Jesus is about to appear to Mary here. Verse 9. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. Verse 12. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them, as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but once again, they did not believe them. Verse 14. After he appeared to the 11 themselves, as they were reclining at the table, he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." This is Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. And now I'd like to have Pastor Ron come up. He is going to share our message today. And welcome, Ron.
Good morning, and God bless you all for joining in or sharing in this sunrise service on this Easter Sunday, 2020. I miss you all dearly, and I can't wait until we can get together again to show our mutual love for one another, a love that proves we are the body of Christ, a love that proves that we are followers of Jesus Christ. But for this morning, we gather together spiritually to declare, "He is risen."
He is risen indeed.
Ah, and yes, I heard some of you answer, "He is risen indeed, but not enough." So we're going to try it again. Ready? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He has risen indeed. Please let's join together in prayer. And Lord, we lift our hearts to you. As the dawn breaks, may we carry the unity that we share into every moment, knowing that we are one with the risen Christ. Lord, we lift our eyes to you, and as the sun rises, may this moment stay with us, reminding us to look for the beautiful colors of promise in your word. Lord, we lift our voices to you, and we celebrate the greatest day in history when Jesus rose from the dead, defeated darkness, and bathed the world in stunning resurrection light. May we ever live to praise you, Lord. And so, Lord, we lift, finally, this service to you, that May we breathe this morning in and know that, like the earth, you sustain us, you keep us, you work with us, you will see us through these times. We pray it all in the precious name of your risen Son, Jesus. Amen. Sir Harry Lauder was a British entertainer who proved highly popular throughout the English-speaking world before, during, and after World War I. Much like Bob Hope was for America in World War II. But during the First World War, Lauder worked tirelessly to organize and recruit performers for shows given to troops serving abroad. And unfortunately, Sir Harry Lauder's only son was killed during the war. And afterwards, he said to a friend, "When a man comes to a thing like this, there are just three things the future holds. There's drink, there's despair, and there's God. And by his grace and his grace alone, he saved that last one for me." Let me ask you a question. Do you ever wonder how a worm gets inside an apple? Now, most of us probably think the worm burrows in from the outside, but no, that's actually not the case. Scientists have discovered that the worm actually comes from inside and works its way out. Okay, so how does it get in there? Well, the answer is actually quite simple. An insect lays an egg in the apple blossom. And then sometimes later, the worm hatches in the heart of the apple. And when it gets good and hungry, and at the right point of growth, it then eats its way out through the apple. And that's amazing. I find that fascinating. But we know something that works in a similar fashion you and I do. That's sin. Sin, like the worm, begins inside. It begins in our heart. And it works its way out through a person's thoughts, through a person's words, and through a person's actions. Religion will never provide the out that we may be looking for, especially at times like this that we're going through. It'll never be enough, religion itself, but A relationship with God through our risen Lord Jesus Christ will. It will provide the out that we're looking for. I can still remember being a student at Talbot and coming back to home after a day of classes, and I had these three books in my hands, all of them requiring reading for a God and ethics class, a God and ethics class that I was taking. They were Harvey Cox's The Secular City, Joseph Fletcher's Situation Ethics, and Thomas Altzer's Radical Theology and the Death of God. Not the reading that I would like to have had. And so I threw all three books on the desk in the garage, and I screamed out in despair, pleading to God for the rescue of a simpler faith. A simpler faith. But the truth is, and the truth I now know, faith is never simple. And the truth is, and the truth I now know, is that faith implies risk. And that's why it's never simple. Faith implies risk. Otherwise, think about it, it's not faith. And it's the risk of faith that's the real challenge. And not just for me, but it's a real challenge for all of us. If faith still involves risk, then imagine ourselves falling in behind Jesus, following him, believing that the road leads to green pastures and still waters, and yet we still find ourselves in days like today walking in the valley of the shadow of death, literally. Sure, we might protest, you know, this isn't what we signed up for. We want clear skies. We want smooth sailing, not heavy winds and high seas. But know what I've learned? I've learned that our Heavenly Father sometimes seems to thrust us into a future that we would never have chosen. But as it works out to our benefit. And when it does, we realize that in the end, we would hate to have lost that future. Take, for instance, the two Marys in the passage that we have for this Easter morning. The passage in Mark 16. They're heading for Jesus' tomb on that first Easter Sunday morning. They're carrying spices, which shows that they were going to anoint the lifeless body of Jesus. And their biggest problem as they were on their way, verse 3 tells us, is answered by the question, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? The only future that they could conceive of was one with a dead Messiah in it and a big rock keeping him from them and them from doing what they desire to, preparing him for burial. They were worried about getting into the tomb, but Jesus already knew the way out. So when they got to the tomb, the stone was already rolled away. And when they went in to check it out, there was what Mark calls a young man, no doubt an angel by the way that he was dressed. And suddenly the future was beginning to take an unanticipated turn. Mark says in verse 5 of chapter 16, they were alarmed and they were amazed. And the angel, of course, told them not to be. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, he said. But he has been risen. He is not here. Now, I don't think they found his words reassuring. And when he told them to go tell the others, well, they did go, yes. But they didn't tell anyone. They go, but they don't tell anyone anything. Verse 8 in chapter 16 says, terror and amazement had seized them. They were afraid of the future. They were afraid of what others would say to them as they told them this unbelievable fact. And we know how they feel. What were they afraid of? Well, it was nothing in their past, that's for sure. No, what frightened them was the future. Things had taken a strange twist into an unknown region of experience, something they have never experienced. They were now in a future they couldn't understand. And so instead, they tried to run away from it. We might wonder what exactly it was that they feared about the future. And there seems to be a hint. The angel instructed them, go and tell. But how were they to tell about this? It's like the future is demanding a task of them that they're not up to, they're not capable of doing at this point in time. So they do what they know best. They run. Oh, yes, they go. They run back to the disciples, to their friends, to their now family, but they don't tell anybody. Now, I want us to notice something. Up to this point, none of the women have seen Jesus. Matter of fact, no mortal has. But then in verse 9, Mark tells us that he appeared to Mary Magdalene. She was the first. And now this is the part I want us to see. Once she experiences the risen Lord, once she encounters Jesus, now alive, she is able to go back and to tell the others. Look at verse 10. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping, told his disciples while they were mourning and weeping. So that's who she tells, the disciples. And what do? Do they dry their tears and they lift up their voices in shouts of joy for the news that Jesus is alive? No. No, that's not what they do. What they do is what she actually did, first off, refuse to believe the truth. They refuse to believe her, and they refuse to believe the truth that she brings. They're no different from the women who discovered the empty tomb, the two Marys, are they? They can't embrace a future they can't understand. So Jesus appears to two of them on a country road, the road to Emmaus. And they experience the presence of the risen Lord. They encounter Jesus, now alive. And what do? They respond the same way that Mary Magdalene did. They go back and they do tell the others. But still, the others do not believe. In fact, verse 14 tells us that Jesus appears to them, the others, a bit later while they're reclining at the table. And the most phenomenal thing has just happened. The most amazing thing ever has just happened. A man has been raised to life. A dead man has been raised to life. And how do his followers respond? They refuse to believe. And out of fear, they literally just kind of collapse into passivity. They're dumbfounded, literally. So why? Why do they fear? What do they fear? Does unbelief and ignorance promise them something so much more appealing than the future that is now made possible by the resurrection? You know what I think? I think fear causes us all to flee for safety. And if we can't flee physically, we flee mentally. Fear is a reaction to a threat, whether real or whether perceived. And we try to put as much distance physically or mentally between us and the threat as possible. It's as if running away promises security. And it doesn't, does it? No, it just delays the inevitable, actually. You try to run from a future that is coming. But at the same time, unbelief does offer us a way out of commitment. Actually, it promises us that we ourselves don't have to promise anything. Unbelief allows us to keep our options open, doesn't it? And that's closely related to the passivity that we see with the disciples, or sheer laziness. The dumbfoundedness. We don't have to believe anything, so we don't have to commit to anything. We don't have to do anything, say anything to anybody that might be uncomfortable. But notice again how the presence of Jesus just blows all of this out of the water. When he first reappears to his early followers, the women and the other disciples, they stop running away from the challenge of faith. And they start actually moving towards it. And soon they're actually running towards it. They move from unbelief to its opposite, belief. And not just belief, but what belief motivates also, conviction. And they also give up passivity for engagement. And obedience. We're told later in verse 20 that they went out and they proclaimed the good news everywhere, just as Jesus has commissioned them to do. No, they weren't afraid to go anywhere anymore. They weren't slow in going even. Not anymore. Because they had re-engaged with the living Lord. They had re-engaged with Jesus as the resurrected Savior. and the risen Lord thrust them into a future that they never chose, but they'd hate to lose, especially now after meeting him. So could that happen to us? Can that happen to us? Maybe you're listening today, and your truth is you don't make it to church all that often. Well, I'm grateful for your listening today, that you're listening this morning at least. I'd love to see all of us here today become a people with a vibrant faith, actively engaged in witnessing to everyone, actually engaged to witnessing everywhere, as Mark puts it, fearful of nothing and completely dependent upon the Lord. That's a future we'd never choose, but we'd hate to lose. And it's the future that he offers. So I'd like you to ask you to do something, if you will. I'd like to ask you to make plans right now to alter your future in a very small way. I'm not asking you to make a huge change. I'm not asking you to jump all in, nothing like that. But I would like you to consider putting a toe or a foot in the water. What I'm asking you to do is plan now to be in church on the next Sunday that you can. The next Sunday that the churches are open for you to join them. Either here at Avalon Community Church, at ACC, if and when you can. But if not here, then somewhere, anywhere. And that's the only commitment I'm asking of you. Just go to church when we're allowed to again. Go to church when all this is over. Yes, you could choose, however, to run in fear, as perhaps you have been. We all can. Or we all can opt for unbelief, as many do, seeking its quote-unquote safety. But the whole thing out of mind forever, so we don't have to be concerned about it. Or we can risk an encounter with the risen Lord who just might thrust us into a future that, no, we'd never choose, but again, we would hate to lose. And yes, that's just what we have to lose, an eternal future. So please don't let that happen. I pray no one lets that happen. Instead of being fearful of what the future holds, let's learn to trust the Lord who holds the future in his hands. Let's trust the Savior because he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful sunrise. And of course, we're talking specifically about you raising your son from the dead. That sunrise. That sunrise in which Easter is all about. Thank you for the love that you show to us through this amazing miracle. We love you too, Father. Now and in that forever future which you give us as we place ourselves in your hands. And we pray it all in the precious, precious name of the resurrected Lord Jesus. Amen.
So out of response to his word this morning, and just out of response to the redemptive work of Christ over our lives, let's just turn our praise. Let's turn our hearts to him as we lift with one voice together this morning our songs of praise.
I was buried shame. Could carry that kind of weight. It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing my my
my failures I try to hide. It was my tune till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. 'Cause when you
death has died, all of creation cried, holy, holy is our God Almighty. The sting of death I fear, not with his presence here.
God bless you guys. Go out in the amazing redemptive work of Jesus Christ, who lives well in you, alive today. God bless you guys. Have a great day.